Good morning, good morning. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly favored. We'll take that every time.
We got people on vacation, evidently.
We have a few people on vacation. Yes, you have to put up with me again today for the service because Pastor Haley texted me this morning and they've arrived. They're on the beach. They're enjoying themselves, and that's what they need to do. Some time to relax and rejuvenate and do all those type things. Do we have any prayer concerns this morning that we need to bring up for everybody's benefit?
Keep my brother in prayer. He's still at OSU Hospital.
Okay.
Marsha's got a UTI.
Yeah. We need to keep both Marsha and Brad in the prayers. Brad's still at OSU Hospital. And so we need to keep them in prayers and his wife. Yes. They were over and spent a little time with us yesterday. And so we got to see them. But so, yes, keep Robin lifted up in her prayer. Robin Evans. Your friend and niece, you said? Okay. She did get to home, you said, but she still needs prayers. Healing time. That's in God's time, you know. It's not in ours. And maybe there's a reason for different things the way they happen. So we'll take that every time. Any others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come and worship you in this place. This place is special to me. I hold it close in my heart, and I know that we are a beacon on this corner for a reason. It calls your name. The looks from the outside and the cross in the yard shows us where you are and allows the open doors to allow people to come in to us. And so we thank you for that. We ask special blessing upon all those that are traveling and Pastor Haley and hopes that she has a wonderful vacation, restful, so she can rejuvenate and come back to us. But we ask for special traveling mercies for any of those traveling. All those that were lifted up in prayer, we know you know their needs and you will be there for them. But we ask you and this congregation to continue to lift them up. So bless this service, bless this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our greeting today is taken from John 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Amen?
Like that lighthouse shining in the darkness. You know, our walk can be like the beginning of that song. We're kind of lost, can't find my way. And then you get a few steps, and the Lord calls you back. It says, hey, here's how it goes.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're here today worshiping you in this place. And we know that you're here beside us, and you know that you hear our every words. And when we cry out for you, you are there for us. And you don't ask much from us. You allow us to give back to this church for your glory, so that we can reach out and touch someone in your name. And so we ask special blessing upon these gifts today. May they multiply and reach all the needs of this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Fear is what if. Faith is even with. The most powerful weapon against the stress in our ability to choose one thought over another. Train your mind to see the good in everything. Positivity is a choice. The happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts. No amount of regret changes the past. No amount of anxiety changes the future. But any amount of gratitude changes the present. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. When you start appreciating the little things, you realize they were the big things all along. Amen? Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible." Ask God to encourage us to dig into it this week so that we can read his word and see what he has for us today. Amen? And for the whole week. This is my Bible. It contains the word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings you give us each and every day. Now be with us this day. Touch our hearts and souls with your word that you need us to hear. And don't let us forget to honor you in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture today is taken from the Old Testament book of Proverbs. This is a description of a good house mother, which attests the honorable position of the women of Israel. In other parts of the eastern countries, women's are regarding of playthings or a better sort of slave, and that was her place in that old world. But the virtuous woman is neither a doll nor a graduate nor a public character. Her kingdom is the home. Her works praise her in the gates, but it is her husband and not she that sits among the elders. She is the ideal head of the household on whose management, as much as her husband's work, its well-being depends. The heart of her husband trusts her like wisdom. She is worth far more than rubies. Those that find such a woman receive favor from the Lord. Proverbs 31:10-31 is as follows. The wife of a noble character, who can find? She is worth more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good harm all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of the earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets out about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for the bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of the household and does not eat bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done. Let her works bring her praise at the city gate. I remember my wife and my mother-in-law, Marion, talking about Paula's grandma, Ivy. She lived here in the East End. Marion grew up in a family, 11 brothers and sisters. I remember Paula talking about the kids all wore hand-me-downs of each other's clothing. And when one of the girls borrowed another's shoes of another, they would find a way to squeeze into them, even though it wasn't their size. With a large family, they all worked in the garden down the hill of Everett's Field to provide the food for the family, but also for the hobos that came off the trains. They would make their way to her house, where Grandma Ivy would make sure to provide them food, also so that no one left without something to eat. I was also told about that they attended church here. And with all the busyness of the morning to get the kids ready for church, oftentimes Grandma Ivy wasn't able to make it here herself. A woman of honor who managed the affairs of her household but looked out for not only her family, but those in need. The next scripture is also from the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. Psalm 1 tells that godly wisdom here declares the final outcome in two ways: the way that sinners take and the way the righteous take. The psalmist develops three contrasts that set the righteous apart from the wicked. First, as to their ways of life. Second, as to the life condition they experienced, like a tree or like chaff. And then thirdly, God's judgment on their different ways. The people of God must be characterized by delight in the God's revealed will. Those who stubbornly choose the way of sinners have no place among them. Those who are faithful in response to God's written directives for life, which is the path that leads to blessedness. This will make the difference between being blessed or lead to destruction. Psalm 1 reads, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on the law day and night. That person is like a tree planted in a stream of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that blows in the wind. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." Now I'm going to switch over to the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark. Jesus' public ministry around Galilee was now completed, and he was on his way to Jerusalem to suffer and die. As he had been doing for several months, Jesus continued to focus his teaching on the ministry of the 12. Jesus predicts his death a second time, talks of serving others, and welcoming children. Mark 9, verses 30 through 37. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to deliver into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant, and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way, they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these children in my name welcomes me. And whosoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Our final scripture today is taken from the New Testament book of James. James is one of the several brothers of Jesus, probably the oldest because he's on the head of the list. At first, he did not believe in Jesus and even challenged him and misunderstood his mission. After Jesus' resurrection, though, James became very prominent in the Jerusalem church. James was one of the select individuals Christ appeared to after his resurrection. Paul called him the pillar of the church. When Peter was rescued from prison, he told his friends to tell James, a key leader in the church. James was a leader in the important council of Jerusalem. So James 3:13 through 4:3 reads, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Do they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 describe the spiritual battle that takes place against evil in the heavenly realm. It tells us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He tells us to put on a full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, we need to put on a full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up a shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. Isn't that what we do when our prayer wheel goes around? Praying for the Lord's people, praying for each other. Just like Paul, I ask you to pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words be given to me so that I can fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Do you realize that God can use you powerfully to proclaim the gospel and make disciples? Perhaps it's somewhat intimidating thought to you, but especially when you see other Christians who are faithful in their ministries. But understand that the effectiveness of the gospel isn't about human talent, personality, or skill. Rather, it's about the power of God, not the order of men. Only the Spirit of God can reach into this person's soul, convict them of sin, regenerate them, and transform them. Effective ministry also requires a focus on the person of Jesus, the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection, through which he bore the penalty of our sin and secured our pardon. When you share the gospel, you exalt Christ. And he said, "If I am lifted up, will draw all men to myself." The power of God's what brings people to salvation and helps them grow in their faith. So don't fear. Trust in him to empower you to lead others to know him through you. So how do you talk to God? Many people believe that you have to speak to God eloquently, not like me, using big words or like a prepared speech. Not so. God knows your heart. He knows what you're going through and what you're going to say even before you say it. Do you ever wonder what it is you should say to God? If you just said, "Sup, God," is that something that's okay? Absolutely. Do you ever wonder what you should say to God? Of course, it's important to listen to him and not just rattle off a laundry list of requests. But how can you engage him respectfully when you approach him? In Matthew 6, Jesus provides you with a powerful pattern for prayer. He begins with, "Whom are you talking to?" "Our Father in heaven." The focal point of the prayer is intimate, loving fellowship with God, who is unfathomably wise, powerful, and loving. Likewise, Jesus reminds us that he is to be respected. "Hallowed be thy name." Our relationship with the Father is one of reverence and adoration. Therefore, as you approach God, show your love and respect for him by listening, committing to what pleases him, and sharing your innermost hurts, needs, and desires. God longs for companionship with you, and prayer is how you build your relationship. So when you pray, start by focusing your attention on God's character, His love, mercy, holiness, power, and grace. Worshiping Him sets your heart to honor Him, magnifying His ability and presence, while diminishing the size and the scope of your problems. Now we see that we need to continue to think about His will. Jesus said, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done." As the architect of our lives, God has eternal plans for us and communicates those through prayer. Once our minds and wills are in tune with God's, our focus can turn to practical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. This includes food, resources, and direction for our careers. We present our needs to the Father so He can reveal His will for receiving His provision. Finally, Jesus turns our hearts to our relationship. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Trespasses are our failures to obey God, either deliberately or unconsciously. So as we pray, we humble ourselves before Him to restore our fellowship and to extend mercy to others who have hurt us. In all things, the Lord leads us to obey Him. And as our paths are molded to God's perfect pattern, we can see His plans for us are formulated in perfect wisdom and love. The next point in Jesus' instruction is, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Of course, this may seem confusing, especially in light of James 1:13. Why would Jesus tell us to ask the Father not to guide us into situations where we would be enticed to sin when He'd never do that in the first place? But in Greek, the word used for temptation, periasmos, means to put to the test or to try one's character. It carries the idea of having our virtue, faith, integrity, prove genuine through adversity. So what Jesus is really instructing us to do is to pray that the Lord will prevent us from going the wrong direction when we face tribulations, that God would stop us from responding to stressful situations in sinful ways that will harm us. Jesus is telling us to ask Him to uphold, strengthen, protect us so that we won't fail Him. That's hard. I think I fail Him every day in one way or another. But certainly this is a wise and worthy thing to pray. And as always, our Savior knows our failings, is looking out for our best interests. Jesus reminds us to always exalt God by saying, "Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." This is a declaration recognize the Lord's supremacy and sovereignty. We give Him thanks, expressing all the ways He has been faithful to care for us. We declare that He is powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, loves us unconditionally, and is willing to lead us. And we give Him all the honor and glory because of our successes. Praise reminds us of our dependence upon Him and the fact that no matter what the issues we are facing, He's able to lead us to triumph in that. In fact, the Father already knows everything we need, and He is already at work delivering us. And if we respond with faith and trust in Him, the obstacles we face will result in our blessing and edification. Therefore, like the Apostle Paul, we can and should declare, "Thanks be to God, who gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." So take time to praise Him today. I was struggling with this sermon. I had rewrote a whole bunch of them. I was up to like 1 o'clock this morning, but that's not your fault. That's mine. Because I wasn't sure what I wanted to say or what I needed to say, what you needed to hear. And as I thought last night, I said, oh, I got a song I probably could use for this. And then I thought, well, maybe it won't work. And so I never went and looked for it. But then as I woke up this morning, it was like it was on my heart. And so I decided to bring it anyway. And then I thought, well, I don't know if we can play it because it's just an old cassette tape. And then the words were this big and I didn't remember it very well, so I had to practice a few times. So if I blow it, that's only because of that, nothing else. But I ask you to pray. And you can pray for anything that your needs are. This is a song by Ray Bowles and Steve Milliken called The Altar. And I'd like to sing that for you.
Just pray. Burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness.
love that is true. Jesus is waiting. He's waiting here for you. Go quickly now before they close the door. You can give your burdens to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. We talked a lot about prayer today. It doesn't matter how you go to him and your needs, because he's going to know them. And yes, you can say, sup, God, what's going on? What can you do to help me? Where do I need to follow you? You know what? We ask for things in our lives that we don't always get, right? And sometimes the reason for us not getting those is because he has something more and more and more precious for you and to give to you. But you just don't know it. God will make a way. No matter what it is, he can make it happen. Don't ever distrust that. Because even those things that are unfathomable, it can happen. I mean, let's look at this. Jesus was born because there was a Virgin Mary. Jesus had a father that taught him the trade. But he has a father in heaven too. As do we. God will make a way and make all things possible. We just have to trust in him. Amen? So have a blessed week. Enjoy yourselves. Come back again next Sunday, because we have some special things for you next Sunday. Amen?